Okay, so we're going to begin Masechta Sota. I don't think it needs a lot of introduction. First of all, people, I think, are familiar with what the Sota is all about. And second of all, we do learn it during Sfira. Just to mention, though, that for all of the Masechta, it's called Sota. Really only half of it deals with the Sota. The other half deals with a number of other miscellaneous dinim that all have to do with, just like the Sota involved the Kohen reading, writing and reading off some words from the Torah. There's a number of other ones that also involve reading or reading verbally or from a Sefer Torah various psukim. So now we know one thing is the basic concept then of Sota is it starts off with kinui, with a husband. I have an official warning, highly. There's kinui there's kinui, where the husband gives his wife an official warning, al pisasri mishplani, as we'll talk about. Then there's stira, where she does actually seclude herself with this guy, and then there's the drinking of the sota water.
Kinui,
stira, and shtia. But there can also be tumma, right, if there's tumma. So once there's kinui and stira, then there can be a number of things. There can be tumma, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. There can be instead, we don't know whether there's tumma, but we know there was stira, and therefore there's the drinking of the water. And there can be various cases, which we'll go through in the first couple of prakim, where for one reason or another, even though we have a suffix, whether she in fact was unfaithful, whether in fact she's guilty, she can't drink the water for one reason or another. The basic idea is, basically, by the way, that once there was kinui and stira, she's also to her husband. It's really, the mei sota makes her mutter again. But if there's no mei sota, like nowadays, or if for whatever reason she's not in a position to drink the mei sota for any of the many reasons that we'll learn about over the next couple of weeks, then her husband just has to divorce her.
Do you think can force him?
Yeah. So the Mishnah starts out, Hamakane le'ishto, somebody who is Mekane, who gives this official warning to his wife. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mekane le'al pi shnayim, u'mashka al pi eyed echad o'al pi atzmai. The kinui has to be in the presence of two edim. But the giving her to drink, meaning that so you need two edim for the kinui. But then, once the kinui has been done, in order to trigger that she should have to drink the mei sota, namely how many edim do you need for the stira, all you need is al pi eid echad o al pi atzmai. All you need for that is one aid, or even the husband himself saying that his wife was in stira with this guy. Or there was
why
a conclusion to this guy.
From the rest of the Torah, you need two edim.
You need two edim for the, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll talk about it on the days. Why? But I mean, you need two edim for the kinui. That's because that's the first stage of the process. Rabbi Yeshua Emer, Mekana Lapi Shnayim, Mashka Lapi Shnayim. No, the kinui has to be based on two edim, and the stira also has to be in the presence of two edim. Less than that, it's not considered a stira. Tosfos HaRosh, by the way, talks about an interesting thing. When the Mishnah says, Api Eidechad Ayati Atmai, what do you need both? I mean, on the face of it, if he himself can be made on the stira, then how much more so one aid? So he says, not necessarily, because you have a concept called, we've talked about it before, and the Gemara talks about it in many places in Shaf, called Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Deisura, where you can have something which is mutter to a person, but based on his own statement, that it becomes author to him, even if objectively it's not. So if the Mishnah had only told us, Al Pi Atzmai, you would say, okay, Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Deisura, hello. But maybe not if one aid says. On the other hand, one aid is less involved. So therefore, the mission needs to tell us both. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that you need two edim for both stages of the process, the kinui and the stira. Okay. Kate said Mekanila, as opposed to Rabbi Leazi. Kate said Mekanila, how is kinui done? Suppose that the husband tells her in the presence of two witnesses, which so far we said both Rabbi Leazi and Rabbi Yeshua say you need two witnesses. We'll talk about in the Gemara, there are other opinions. But he says to her in front of two people, Al tadabri im ish plini. Don't speak with so and so. Well, then the dibra im. No, that's not that. The Mishnah makes it sound as though that's the kinui. The Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara will explain in a couple of days that that's not the kinui. Therefore, the dibra im. Therefore, if she spoke with this guy, meaning out in public, there was no stira. Adayin him uteres lebeisa, so she's still allowed to be with her husband. Lebeisa means she's still allowed to have relations with her husband, because we should point out, again, once a, again, you know, to reiterate, once a woman becomes a sota, Once there was a kinui, and the sira with however many edim you need for each stage of the process, then she becomes also to her husband in the sense they're not allowed to have relations. And in fact, it's at that point, we'll learn later on in the sechta, and so for the husband to have relations with her at that point is an aveda on his part, and it will prevent them, mesaita from having an effect. Yes. We'll learn later on in the sechta. The woman, the mesaita is meant to check whether the woman is menukah ma'oven, whether she's clean of this aveda of being unfaithful to her husband. But in order for it to work, it has to be that the husband is also menukah ma'oven. So what it means, menukah ma'oven, you have, there's different opinions among Rishonim, whether it means just that he has to be free of the aveda of having relations with her after she's a saita, or whether it means more generally that he has to be free of any sexual aveda. Yeah, so there's some machlokes we're showing on that. Okay, so he says to her, "Al tadabri mishpoin, you v'dibra imo," so she spoke with this guy, but there was no stira. "Adayinim v'cheres v'beis," so she's still allowed to have relations with her husband, because that was not considered a kinui, and there certainly was no stira. "U'mecheres lecho v'truma," and she's also, if she's a wife of a kohen, she's still allowed to eat truma. Because again, once she becomes osur to her husband as a soita, if her husband is a kohen, she'll also be osur to eat truma. Later on in the masechta, the Gemara is going to derive that from Sukkim.
Can I ask a tangential question?
Well, if it has something to do, I mean, we do have a whole lot to get through.
About Nazir, because we were talking about Nazir Shimshon, it seems to me that it was announced by the angel that she was not to eat anything tameh.
Yes.
So why is that not included in the halachas of Nazir Shimshon? So
because when it says Dabar tameh, it means anything that's also to a Nazir. Yeah. Okay. On the other hand, nichnas se'imel beisafei. So if she went with this person who her husband warned her against, if she went with him into seclusion, v'shar se'imel kedei tuma, and she stayed with this guy in there long enough for tuma. Tuma here means ha'ra, the first stage of bia, and later on, on Dabdala, the Gemara is going to discuss at some length how long that shear is. Then asur lebeisav, asur lecho b'tuma. Then she's also to her husband until and if she drinks the meisaita, and she's also to tuma if she's an aishas kohen. Which again, you know, the Mishnah makes it sound as though because he originally said al tzavri imoy and then she went into seclusion, that's enough. The Gemara is going to say later that's not what the Mishnah means. A kinui that's phrased in the form al tzavri imishplani is not a kinui. The kinui has to be al tzavri imishplani. Don't seclude yourself with this guy. So Gemara, we'll talk about that later. The immace, and furthermore, if her husband dies before she has a chance to drink the soita water, and they didn't have children, she can only do chalitza, she cannot do yivum with her brother's husband. We talked about this briefly in Yivamis, and later on the Gemara is going to talk about it later on Hale and Bays, about the details of that. The Gemara starts off with we'll talk about it there. Yeah. So first things first. I mean, let's consider the order of Masechtas we learned. We learned in our Seder, we had Yevamot, Ksubos, and Nedarim, Nazir, and Soita. So the Gemara is first taking up why that order. Nechti Tana mi Nazir Salik. Now let's see. The Tana has just finished teaching us Masechta Nazir. My Tana, the Katana Soita. What was taught in Nazir that then makes an appropriate segue into Soita? The answer is Kedi Rebbe. It's like what Rebbe says. We learned this at the beginning of Nazir as well. The Tanya Rebbe Omer. Loma Nismacha Parshas Nazir la Parshas Soita. Why is the Parshas Nazir stated in the Torah immediately after Parshas Soita? Loy Malach to tell you, Shakal Roya Soita Bukukula. Yazir Atmir Nayayin. Anybody who sees a Soita in her degradation should make a neder to swear off wine. Which doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, to be a full-fledged Nazir. Tosfos at the beginning of Nazir says it may just mean that he swears off wine. But why wine? Later on, a few blocks on Zayin or Ches, when we start getting into the actual Seder of the Hashkaf Soita, we're going to mention over there that the Beis Din first gives the Soita a whole speech to try and convince her that, look, you know, if you're guilty, just admit it, instead of having to go through the whole procedure. And they point out to her, Habit, Yayin Osa, wine can do a lot of things. Wine, and a person drinks wine, and then it makes them, you know, makes them lightheaded, and it makes them do things, it removes their inhibitions, and makes them do things they wouldn't otherwise do. So, yeah, when the Nazir sees what happens to the Saita, then it might be a good idea for him to realize that, you know what, wine is something that I might want to stay away from, because look at the effects that it had on her. So you might ask, well, listen, he's so tavah to listen, Nazir. In that case, then why don't we learn?
He says, yeah,
that's the thing. Tosfos explains at the beginning of Nazir that it doesn't necessarily mean to exactly make himself a Nazir, because we learned several times in Dodim and Nazir, and we're going to learn again in Orma Sechta about the whole idea. You have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar HaKafro that a Nazir is a Chote, that it's wrong to be a Nazir, except maybe in certain rare situations. And not necessarily does Yazir Asim and Ayayin mean to become a full-fledged Nazir. It may just mean that a person, okay, in such a situation, make a neder not to have wine for a little while. Don't make yourself a full-fledged Nazir with the whole 30 days and no haircuts and everything that we dealt with in Nazir. You might ask, the listening sota v'had the listening Nazir. In that case, then, why don't we learn Masechta sota and then Nazir, like the order in the pasuk? The answer is, let's go back. I did the Tana Ksubos because it goes all the way back to, we had Masechta Ksubos, the Tana Hamadir, and in Masechta Ksubos we had Perek Hamadir, the case where a man binds his wife by a neder, the different cases that we had over there, when, for how long, the certain nedarim that are gonna cause her trouble, like she can't go to her parents' house for X amount of time, for example, or whatever, how long those can be in effect before you have to divorce her. So having mentioned that, Tana Nedarim, then we learned the Masechta Nedarim, because that talks all about these kinds of things. But I did a Tana Nedarim, and then having learned the Masechta Nedarim, Tana Nazir, then the next thing after that is we learn Nazir, the Domi Nedarim, because Nazir is similar to Masechta Nedarim, it's a type of Nedar. But Katani Sota Kedirabi, and only then do we do Sota, like Rebbe says, in order to put together, in order to juxtapose Nedarim, Nazir and Sota.
Finish with one union, and then...
Yeah.
Similar.
Interesting, though, by the way, the Rambam puts Dittin in between. The Rambam's order, at the beginning in his Akdama to Pirush HaMashnayis, when he deals with the order of the Masechtas and the various Dorim, he says that the order is the Dorim, Nazir, then Dittin, and then Soita. So why does he put Dittin in there first? So the Rebbe talks about Nasicha, interesting thing. The Gemara is going to talk about later the question, is it good for a man to do kinui to his wife or not? Is it a good thing for him to do? I mean, the Torah gives him the ability to do it, for kinei mishtai. But is it a good thing, or would the Chachamim prefer a person does not do that? The Gemara is going to mention a number of different possibilities. One thing, I believe Tosfos Rosh says, it actually partly depends on whether the woman is a prutza or not. So therefore, the Rebbe takes that idea and continues with it in the Sicha. The idea being like this. If the woman is a tzniyastika woman, then by all means, go ahead and be mepanit to her. It won't hurt anything. And the Rambam says that, you know, to be mekaneh, to a certain extent, there's a spirit of tara and precious involved. On the other hand, if the woman is already a prutza, don't be mekaneh to her. Because then, for one thing, one problem is, I was going to talk about soon, the idea that the next thing in the Gemara, that a person's zibug depends on his maisim, so therefore, if the wife is a prutza, the husband himself is probably not so much on the up and up. And in that case, the sota water is not going to help anyway. We just said that the husband himself has to be menukah me'alvin. That being the case, then, well, that's the different opinions, what menukah me'alvin means, but whatever the case, so according to the possibility that menukah me'alvin means more generally that he's free of such type of averus, then in that case, then, therefore, for that reason, therefore, gittin more appropriately comes before sota. That there can be a situation where rather than going through the whole sota procedure, you're going to warn her, you're going to put her in a situation where she has to drink mei sota, and the mei sota may not even work anyway because who knows what kind of person the husband is. Better just do gittin, and then rather than getting into the whole matter of sota. And that's it. And it's based on that you have the issue of whether it's good to do kinui or not.
Better give your wife a get?
So in other words, the idea is that if she's a prutza, then it may be better, rather than going through the whole rigmarole of kinui, then stira, then possibly drinking the sota water, it might be better to just head off the thing in the first place. I mean, we have also the famous Mishnah at the end of Gittin. There's a couple of Meforshim relate this to the famous Machlokas over there at the end of Gittin. What are the grounds for a husband to divorce his wife? Because Shammai says only if he finds Erevas Dover, Vesilo says Afilik Dichas Avshiloi. So that also factors into this.
No, kinui.
Well, that's the thing. In other words, I mean, kinui, that's the thing. If she's already a prutza, then there's already a little bit of erevas dover involved. So according to Beit Shammai, that's already valid ground for gerushin, and according to Beit Hillel, all the more so. But still, that's what we're saying. Instead of, so therefore, in that case, then, you're better off maybe with gittin over Saita, as opposed to when we're talking about if it's an Ishak Sheira, then Hamakana Ishta, because then, as the Gemara will discuss, there is a daya that's good for a man to be Makana, his wife.
So you think that almost that if she's not a person, she's a smithic woman, that if something like that had happened, then it would be even more likely that she would perhaps refuse the humiliation of admitting to it. Whereas if she was a person,
maybe.
Then maybe if it came to the Mesota, she would say, well, you know what, I did it. It's like,
maybe. But on the other hand, yeah. But there is, on the other hand, with the prutza, there's more likely to be, again, given this idea, the expression of the Gemara and Megillah, like when the wife is prutza sick, then the husband himself is not quite so much on the up and up. Then there's more of a chance that the Mesota may not even work anyway. Anyway, let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hamakane, when the Mishnah starts out, Hamakane l'ishtoi, the eved ein l'chatchil aloi. The implication of the word Hamakane l'ishtoi is that it's only b'dieved. Now, why is that? So, one way of looking at it, and Tosfos discusses the possibility, maybe because a lot of times when you have a verb in a Mishnah beginning with a hey, like Hamakane, is mashma, the one who is Mekane. Meaning, it's not the ideal thing to do, but if somebody did it, here's how you go about doing it. On the other hand, Tosfos says that's not what the Gemara means over here, because you have other places where the Gemara uses an expression like that, hashoichet, for example, where it's not necessarily dievet. No, so what Rashi says is, the word is, what is the Mishnah saying? Hamakane l'ishtoi, Rabbi Eliezer, Hamakane l'al pishnayim. If the Mishnah meant to say that l'chatchila, it's good to do kinui, you don't need the first two words, Hamakane l'ishtoi. Start off, Rabbi Eliezer, Hamakane l'al pishnayim. The fact that it starts out, Hamakane l'ishtoi, implies that it's a sort of bidievetika thing. Therefore, kasavar tani didan also mekanes. Evidently, then, the tana of our Mishnah holds, it's also for a husband to be mekane for his wife.
Maybe not also, but it's...
Not also, but not, well, also mejibre chachamim. I mean, it's obviously mutter min atorida, but it's not recommended by the chachamim. Yeah.
It means,
in other words, the Torah gives the husband the ability to be mekane, but according to this opinion, also the kane, we're saying the chachamim said you shouldn't be doing that. Later on, the Gemara is going to take that up. He's going to take up that issue again of mutter l'kanitz or also l'kanitz again later. Meanwhile, let's deal with something else. I'm going to Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. He have a pasuk for Rish Lakish b'Soita. When Rish Lakish would start out teaching Masechta Soita, Amar Chochi, he would start out with the following introduction. Ein mezavgin lo la'odem isha el l'fi maisa. The based in Shemaila only arranges a zivug for a man, only arranges a wife as a zivug for a certain man, el l'fi maisa, only according to his deeds. Meaning, as Rashi says, so a tzniyah stick a woman ends up with a tzaddik, a prutza stick a woman ends up with a rasha. Shenema, the pasuk says, ki lo yarnuach shevet harasha al goro l'tzaddikin. The staff of wickedness will not rest on the portion of the tzaddikim. Hello. So how does that tell us anything about husbands and wives? So Marsha says because it's actually based on the next part of the pasuk. L'man lo yishalchah tzaddikim ba'av lo sa yadehem. Av lo sa is feminine because it's feminine lashon, because otherwise it would be avla. So therefore we have a reason to say that it's referring to the feminine, to a wife. Other mafarshim point out some interesting things, including that the word shevet is gematria ha'isha, and also that shevet is gematria. The Gemara says in Yevamos that a man who's not married is living without simcha, without bracha, and without tova. And shevet stands for those three things. Ben Yehoyada also points out that the word, what is a shevet after all? I mean, a shevet is something that you can use to lean on for support, and it's something that can be used to beat a person. And the same thing, as we learned in Yevamos, zacha ezer lo zacha kenegdo, that the Eishta arranges that sometimes, depending on the man's maisim, the woman can either be a help to him or in opposition to him, as the case may be. Okay. And furthermore, you should know that the making matches that the fact that a certain woman is designated for a certain man is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf.
Are we talking about the first people here?
Wait. So far we don't know yet. Wait. Shenemar, Elikim Moshev Yechidim Baisa, as the Pasuk says in Tilim, the Eidishter places individuals into a house, meaning he makes matches, so individuals become a household. He brings out prisoners in koshores. What's koshores? Rashi says koshores is the lashon kosher. A good time, a fit time of the year for people to go traveling. The Eibishter didn't kick us out of Mitzrayim in the middle of winter or the middle of the summer or whatever when the weather would be harsh, but rather in the springtime when it's a nice comfortable time to travel.
Yeah, but even though going out in the winter would be before the time, it would be better to get out of Sheba earlier.
Okay, but you know, so the point is that we're making a comparison between a zivug and Yetzias Mitzrayim, or more specifically Kriyas Yam Suf. Actually, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about how Makoshoros refers more to Kriyas Yam Suf, because also Bechi V'Shira, it's because the Tzurim are crying when they're being drowned, and the Yidden are singing. In what way is it kosher to Kriyas Yam Suf? There's a lot of ink has been spilled on the details of this. There's a vort, the Maharal has a long vort that the difficulty, so to speak, of Kriyas Yam Suf is you're taking one united ocean, one united sea, and splitting it into two against its teva. Here it's the other way around. You're taking two people who by nature are completely different, and joining them together is also, it's like an unnatural kind of thing. Next, it just talks about the idea that the greatness, the difficulty, so to speak, of Kriyas Yam Suf is, among other things, it's the combination of Ishtalshalus and Lamai, when we say they're Ishtalshalus, but the seabed becoming dry land, and similarly over here, when you have that two people join together and make something greater than themselves, and it's also like that. It's like you're taking something beyond the Seder Ishtalshalus and bringing it into our world. There's also, as far as the thing that Kafi Maisav, there's also the idea, what was so difficult about Kriyas Yam Suf, the fact that you have at one and the same time, the Yidden are being saved and the Mitzrayim are being punished, so that even though the Yidden didn't fully deserve it according to their Maisav, that still the Eibishter is sort of overriding that here also. There is that also, yeah. So you might ask, Amy, is that really so? You're telling me then that a person's zivug is according to his ma'isim. 40 days before a child is formed. Some mafoshim say that means at the time of conception, because the Gemara talks in various places that it takes the fetus 40 days to start forming into some recognizably human shape. Whatever it is, Baskel Yotzes Vaymeres, Baskel comes out and says, Bas Pliny Pliny, the daughter of Pliny is going to marry Pliny, Bias Pliny Pliny, so such and such a house is going to end up for this person, Soda Pliny Pliny, and such a field is going to end up with this person. So you see, it's predetermined before the person is born. And Rashi points out the famous thing that we know, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyiras Shemayim, that when the Malach brings the tipper to the Eibishter to determine what's going to be the life history of this baby to be born, then the Eibishter predetermines everything except V'hot Tzadik V'rosha Lo'Tomer, like it says on the first page of Tanya, that the Eibishter doesn't predetermine whether the person is going to be a Tzadik or a Rosha. So therefore,
you make him swear to you,
but the point is, that's before the baby is born. But yeah, the point is, therefore, that if the Eibishter doesn't predetermine that, if the Eibishter leaves it up to the person's Bechira Chopshit, then how can you say that at that time of the conception, it's predetermined who his Zivug is, if we just said the Zivug, it depends on his Maisim.
Unless we're saying that although he has free will, his Zivug maybe doesn't.
Everybody has free will, both men and women. And that's one reason why the expression is Bas Pliny the Pliny. Why not Plinus the Pliny? Yeah, because Plinus may not have even been born yet. Usually husbands are older than their wives, so yeah.
No, I guess I just meant that. Okay.
Think of our answers. Loikasha, Hobazug Rishin, Hobazug Sheni. It depends whether you're talking about a first Zivug or second Zivug. Now, what does that mean? So one way of looking at it is we take it at face value. A Zivug Rishon, the person's first marriage, is Basher before they were born. A person's second marriage is depends on their Maisim. And then, therefore, when we're talking about Koshel Zabma, Kriyas Yam Suf, and then it depends on the Maisim, then we're talking about a second marriage, which then gets into the discussion, is it Dafka for the second marriage for both of them? What if it's a second marriage for only one of them?
Every person, every
it has its own. Hold on. There's many other explanations of this business of zivug rishon versus zivug sheni, because also, I mean, Tosfos points out over here there's a sort of contradiction to that in halacha. That in Moed Katan we learned that you're allowed, even though normally ein ma'ariv and simcha b'simcha, you're not allowed to mix one simcha with another. Therefore, you're not allowed to do weddings during Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to do erusin during Chol HaMoed. Why? Shema yikad menu achar. Somebody else might get her first. Well, if we're saying Chol Zivug Rishon, if we're saying Chol Zivug Rishon is predetermined ahead of time, and then what do you mean? What kind of shema yikad menu achar? So there is a lot of discussion on all the pros and cons of this. There's, among other things, there's a letter that the Rambam wrote to one of his talmidim, Rebbe Avadia Ager, where he deals with this whole issue. This Rebbe Avadia was a Ger Tzedek, and he was learning the basics of Yiddishkeit from his Rebbe, and he had a ton of questions about what he learned, which he wrote to the Rambam. So the Rambam wrote him back a very long letter, a bunch of letters, actually discussing various fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. This is one of them. What do we mean? So there's a lot of possibilities. Again, what is one possibility when we say zivug rishon, zivug sheni, means when we say it's predetermined before the person is born? Yes, it may be predetermined, but doesn't mean it's inevitably going to be that way. It can still happen because of the different ways the Eibishter runs the world, or based on a person's life choices, that they don't end up with their zivug, or that they don't end up with that predetermined zivug. So the zivug sheni, in other words, is not predetermined b'chol, completely, kifi ma'isav. But even the first one, it can happen, it cannot. You have to make your establishment. Therefore, shami yikad menu achar. Go ahead and get engaged during Chol HaMoed in order to avoid the possibility that somebody else might get to her before you do, for example. No reason why not. About shuvah is just as much a yid as anybody else. But anyway, like I said, there's a lot of different other explanations, including there's an explanation that's based on the Zohar that actually what we mean by zivug rishon and zivug sheni rather means sort of what was zivug rishon means what was originally determined in Shemayim, and zivug sheni means how things actually work out here on earth. Meaning that it's determined in Shemayim, for example, that a person has, you know, the other half of your neshama is so and so, you're destined for each other, but it doesn't always come down in our world in that way, which is vaguely similar to what the Rambam is saying, except that Rambam is not putting it in Kabbalah Dikotius like that. There's also an idea that Zivug Rishon means the first Gilgul of the neshama, and Zivug Sheni is the subsequent Gilgulim. So the bottom line is, you can't necessarily, I mean, so we have this Aboimian Kremi Sirius of Lab, because this announcement is made, but not necessarily can you, not necessarily, based on all these different various explanations, not necessarily can you take it as a given. And therefore, you have to do your Shtadlus, therefore they have that, again, that din of in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. And therefore, in general, yes, I mean, every person has somebody, but whether that's actually going to come down, L'matam Asarat Tfachim, in our world, to at least to some extent depends on a person's ma'isim, as the Gemara is saying over here. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer and Mekanalal Pishnayim. Behold, that Rabbi Eliezer had said in the Mishnah that the kinui has to be based on two edim, and then the stira can be either one aid or even no edim, just the husband himself. And then Rabbi Yeshua had said you need two edim for both halves of it. Okay. The Gemara says ad kamli pligi ela b'kinui yustira. Well, it comes out then, so far, if we analyze the machlokas, they seem to only be arguing about kinui and stira. Aval b'tuma, but again, you have the other possibility. There wasn't just stira where the edim saw them go into seclusion and don't know what happened after that. But there's actually tuma, that they have evidence that she was actually tame, that she actually had relations with this other guy. Which, by the way, the Gemara points out in Machlokes doesn't necessarily literally mean they have to see commit chol b'shveferes. The actual act of bia. It means to mishiyirom u'kimenafim. The Gemara says over there when they see the two people in the position that menafim are usually in, then that's already enough evidence. That's the thing. We're saying they're arguing on. Well, they're not really right. So they're not really arguing. Right. So it's really only stira they're arguing about. The reason why the Gemara mentions kinui is just that. In order to first of all, we have an opinion later that kinui doesn't need two aid. Yeah, these two. Yeah. Avatuma edach and behemon. But what we're saying is that when it comes to Truma, even one Eid would be believed. If you had the husband did Kinui with two Eidim, according to both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, later on, one Eid came and said, I saw there was Truma, I saw there was not just seed over there, but I saw there was actual Truma, Mashiach Okim and Afin, then that would be enough. And there's no soda water when she's also to her husband, and that's that. She gets divorced.
And nothing else?
Nothing else, yeah. And she loses her soda. So the question is, and utnan nami, and in fact, we learn that more explicitly later on in the Masechta. Eid echad omer ani ra'isi shenitmis. If one aid says that I saw that she became tomei, lo ra'isa shoisa, midaraisa. Then midaraisa. She doesn't, lo ra'isa shoisa, she would not drink. She's also to her husband, period. So the question is, midar aisa, no one demeim, and eid echad. So where do we get the midar aisa? One aid should be believed for such a thing. Like this. The Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. One of the psukim that introduces the concept of soter and that introduces parashat soter goes like this. What's the lashon? B'shachav ish oisa shichas zera. The ne'elam me'ena isha, it was hidden from the eyes of her husband. The niftara, she was secluded. The hinitma, and she became tamei. The aid ein ba, there was no aid against her. The hilon nitpasa, and she was not forced. She was not raped. So what does this mean? When it says the aid ein ba, so what the Gemara is going to be assuming, now the truth is that the pasuk is sort of equivocal, because on the one hand the pasuk is talking about tumah, on the other hand it's talking about stira. So are we talking about Eidei Tumah or Eidei Stira? The Gemara is going to assume throughout the discussion over here that the Pasuk is talking about Tumah. That the Pasuk is talking about what kind of evidence is needed to say whether she's Tomei or not, and therefore also to her husband. One reason for that is because, since the Gemara is going to explain soon, since the Pasuk uses the expression that he learned its Pasuk, that she was not raped, which implies, had she been, that would be an extenuating circumstance, then she wouldn't be also to her husband unless he's a Kohen. So the fact that it's mentioned, the fact that it has to mention that implies that the rest of the pasuk is talking about the circumstances under which she'll be offered, period, without any meisoter. So, when the pasuk says the aid ain ba, there's no aid against her, meaning b'shnayim akasa v'daba, that means the pasuk says there aren't two aiding. Okay. How do you know? Maybe it means there's not even only one. So in other words, so far we're saying b'shnayim akasa v'daba, the pasuk means there are not two aiding, but the implication is there is one. And that enough, and that one is enough to answer her. So you're going to ask, oh, Eina Ela. Wait. Oh, Eina Ela Afilu Be'echad. Maybe not. Maybe the word aid means one aid. And then it would mean there's not even one aid, there's zero aid in. And yet she's also. Tamad Lema. No, we have another pasuk that says, Lo Yokum Eid Echad Be'ish. The pasuk says, one aid cannot testify against the person to cause him to be put to death. Now, Mimash Meshenem Lo Yokum Eid Be'ish. Now, if the pasuk had only said aid, I'd only said aid without the word echad, aid yeshu echad obviously means one. The word aid is singular. Ma tam lema echad, so why does the pasuk have to add the word echad? Ze bona av, from here we have binyan av, a general rule that we apply throughout the Torah. Kol makom shenema aid, anytime throughout Torah when it uses the word aid, harei kan shnayim, then it means two aidim, ad sheyifre, b'chal kasev echad, unless the pasuk specifically says one, like here, aid echad b'ish. So in other words, so far, when we have our pasuk by soter, the aid ein ba, effectively what we're doing is aid really means aiding. Aid really means aidus, kind of. It means not an aid, as in one person, but rather the singular concept of aidus, the singular concept of one aidus, which is composed of two aiding.
What?
Because of the fact that the Torah has to say aid echad ish. Otherwise, it would say lo yakum aid beish, and we would understand that means one aid, because the pasuk continues al pishnei aidim or al pishnei shaidim. The fact that it says aid echad implies that everywhere else where it says aid means two, because it doesn't mean it's not talking about the number of people. It's talking about the number of aiders. Basically, there's one aiders which is comprised of two or more aidim. So therefore, now that we understand the pasuk that way, then we have the pasuk saying, "Shnei lespa, there are not two aidim against her for tumah elachad, and there's only one aid, and the he loin is pasa, and she was not raped because had she been, she would be mutter. Therefore, asura." So in other words, what the pasuk is saying is you have two factors that combine together to make who also. Number one, they know it wasn't the onus, but he learned it faster. Not they, but there aren't to be two aid. One aid is enough, and that one aid knows that he learned it faster, that she was not forced into it, that it was willingly. And therefore, so we see from that that yes, that's where we get then that one aid of Tumah is enough to hassle her to her husband. So now what the Gemara is going to do over the next dozen lines or so is reanalyze this, how we have to derive it, how we went about deriving this from the pasuk, why we had to derive it the way we did. Couldn't we have derived the same din in another way? The Gemara asks, Ela time adichtiv lo yokum eidachav be'ish. So what are you telling me? Why did you have to understand the word aid by the soita to mean two only because of the binyan av from eidachav be'ish? If it weren't for that, have amina aid the soita chadru? If it weren't for that, what? How can you possibly think the word aid in connection with the soita means one aid? Well, if there's not even one aid of tuma, what? Why would she be also in the first place anyway? Obviously, needs some kind of aid of tuma to make her also to her husband. So necessarily, even without aid echad beish, we would automatically know that by the soita, the aid ein ba means there are not two aidim, there's only one. We can't understand it like we thought maybe at the beginning, that it means there's not one aid, there's zero aid in. But you need to have some aids to make a roster. No, because we still need the pasuk aid echad to teach us this, because we can't learn it directly from the pasuk about sota itself. We need the pasuk aid echad beish in order to teach us the meaning of the word aid. We couldn't have deduced it from the story of the sota herself, the aid ein ba. Why? Because we might have thought to mean that the pasuk means like this. Adrab, aid ein ba means ein neman ba. Adrab, maybe we would understand that aid, the word aid by soita does mean one aid. And maybe actually it means one aid. Ein ba is not against her, meaning we don't believe him against her. One aid comes and says, she's tummy. Tough luck. We don't believe him. So therefore, if we did not have the pasuk aid echad beish, we wouldn't know this whole concept. We would think Adrabba that one aid is not enough to ask her a woman to her husband. Only because we have aid echad, that forces us to say therefore that the aid ain't rami to aid him, and therefore to say that one aid is enough to ask her. Because obviously you can't say aid ain't rami means that you can't accept two aid him against her. Two aid him are accepted b'chol atera kola. Says, what do you mean, so what do you mean? You'd want to say that ein ba means that we don't believe one aid against her. Elamai ba. So what would you need? You'd need you add the ikat today. So what would you assume then? The pasuk is saying that unless you have two aidim, then you don't have a testimony. Well, of course, you don't have a valid testimony. Well, of course, lishtik kromine, then the pasuk doesn't even need to mention that. The pasuk doesn't have to say anything. To ask you dover mimomen, we could learn it by zeta shava dover from dinim momenis. By dinim momenis, it says apishnaim aidim yokum dover. And by Arayas, it says kimotzava ervas dover. Okay, that's not in connection with the soita, but still, it's talking about Arayas. We have that zeta shava that teaches us that just as you need two aidim for dinim ominous, apishnaim aidim yokum dover, so also you need two aidim for dinim involving Arayas. So automatically, from that alone, we would know that you need two aidim. If we were going to say that the aid aid ba meant that one aid is not believed in the case of a sota, you need two aidim. Well, of course, you need two aidim anyway in all dinim in the Torah, momen in momen and arayas. You need it in all the other kibbutz. Those aren't really the levana and Mrs. Basin, whatever isn't relevant for our purpose. We're not going to answer those, but yeah. And automatically we would know then that you need two aidim because it would be similar to all the other aidim in the Torah. So let's review this so far then. So based on that, once we know this zeta shava dover, we can't say that the pasuk has to be implying by sota you need two aidim because you don't need a special implication by sota. That's a general rule. Therefore, necessarily it has to mean that. And on the other hand, it can't mean that two edim are not enough. It can't mean that you need, so it can't mean you need two edim and one ed is not believed, because we don't need a special pasuk by the sota to teach us you need two edim. Necessarily, it has to, and conversely, it can't mean one, you don't even have one ed, you have zero edim, because then you don't have any basis to ask her. Necessarily, the ed ein bar means there are not two edim, but there's one ed, and that's enough to ask her. So what do we need? So going back to, what do we need? Ed echad v'ish, to teach us the meaning of the word ed. Okay, still it's okay, nevertheless, we still need all these limudim. Sota shiny, because still you might have thought a sota is different. Diraglayim l'davar, because after all you have, as we learned at the end of Nazir, raglayim l'davar, you have a reasonable basis for saying that she should be aser. Sharei tinalo v'nistera, because after all he was mekane to her, she was secluded with this guy. So far you have two stages in the process of making her also to her husband. Therefore you would think on that basis maybe one aid is believed to what?
One aid per stage.
You would think that when it comes to tumah, that one aid is believed her. Because once you have, again, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you need two edim for the kinnery, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, they need two edim for the sphira, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need two edim, one ed is enough for that, whatever, for reasons, which tomorrow we'll talk about too. But once you have all that, then maybe one ed, then maybe one ed should be enough for tumah, yeah.
If you have two for kinnery and two for sphira, we just need one for tumah.
That's what we're arguing. That's what we're arguing, because you're lying with
other.
It would just be the opposite. You would say you want to sphere at once. No, again, Ragayim Adava, once you have, you know, so much has been going on, you already had reason to suspect her, so you have to be a mechanic to her, and she was actually secluded with this guy, and there were aid him to that effect. Then one aid already, it's almost like a Julian Milsom Alma. It's almost like he's just telling, you could almost argue it's almost like he's just telling us the inevitable, kind of. Yeah, maybe. Hold on. Yeah, could be. I don't know. So therefore, in other words, so therefore you need all these limudim. Okay, the Gemara still mimotas amate nemen bavashaya. Still, how can you go back to what we said, that aid has to mean true aidin, because otherwise if it meant only one aid, then you would say that you can't understand the pasuk to mean aid ain bar, meaning that one aid is not believed against her. Still, I mean, the fact that the pasuk ends off with v'hila nitpasa, meaning she doesn't have that extenuating circumstance because there was no nitpasa, there was no onus, and therefore she becomes also mitzvah da'asura. That implies the pasuk is talking about that she is also, meaning we're talking about obviously a situation where we have good reason to believe that she's tamei. How could you think that eid ein ba means ein ne'eman ba? That would contradict the implication of the pasuk. Since the pasuk is implying that we're in a situation where she's also to her husband, the eid ein bar v'hila nitpasa. So if we're talking lachumra, basically, if the pasuk is trying to be machmer on her, then it doesn't fit in the pasuk to say the eid ein bar means one eid is not believed against her. You need two eidim. So going back to earlier in the discussion when we wanted to say that maybe that's what the pasuk means, and we shot that down because again, eid doesn't mean one eid; it means two eidim. Well, why would we think that that's what the pasuk means anyway? Why would we think eid ein ba is meant to be meikel on her? The answer is still it's strich. Okay, but we still need it. Maybe the pasuk means like this: one eid b'chlal you don't believe. You need to have two. Over tre nami he learned pasuk, and even if you have two eidim, she won't be author unless she was not raped. So then, in other words, yeah, the pasuk might be coming to give the kulis on her. Basically, the kulis would be number one, you need two edim, and number two, you need hilon nitpasa. But again, all of that. Therefore, in order to prevent us from learning the pasuk that way, therefore we have the other pasuk la yakum eid echad beish, which therefore teaches us the word eid throughout the Torah means two edim. And now that forces us to understand the pasuk by the sota as the eid ein bar, there aren't two eidim against her. because you don't need two agents for trauma, but rather there's only one aid, that's enough. As long as the healing is pasta, then yes, she will be osur. And that's why we get that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are saying that one aid is enough for trauma. And the Mishnah continued, Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a Makanel Apishnaim Chula, that Rabbi Yeshua had said that the Kinui and the Sira both require two Aidim. Whereas in my time, it's Rabbi Yeshua, so what's Rabbi Yeshua's reasoning? Why you need two by Sira, yeah? The reason is, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Ba. The Pasuk says, the aid ain't Ba, the Pasuk that we just quoted. There's no aid against her. Ba is a mute. Therefore, in other words, it wasn't needed in the pasuk. The pasuk could have just said the aid ayin, the aid ayin ba. Obviously, we're talking about her. Therefore, that ba is a mirror. Ba v'loy b'kinui, ba v'loy b'sira. It comes to be memayet that, given that aid ayin ba we just established means there aren't two aid, and one aid is enough. But that does not apply to kinui, and it does not apply to sira. The ba is memayet those two things. V'rabliyazer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, whereas Rabbi Eliezer would learn it, Ba v'loy b'kinui, that no, the word Ba is only memayet, that the kinui does not need two aidim. The stira, according to him, that the kinui does need two aidim. The stira, according to him, doesn't. The Torah does not mean memayet. Okay, the aim of Ba v'loy the stira. Why? Mela, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're saying both things are being excluded. Fine. According to Rabbi Eliezer, why are you excluding one and not the other? What makes kinui better than stira? The answer is stira, hipkish, and truma. Yes, but we have a hekish between the stira and the truma. Just give the nistira v'initma. The pasuk says, earlier in that pasuk, she was secluded and she was tame. So we see, whatever applies to one has to apply to the other. If we establish before that for truma one aid is enough, then for stira also one aid has to be enough. Question is, kinui nam ikhtitish truma? Okay, kinui is also, there's a hekesh between it and truma. Yichtiv, so it says in the next pasuk, the kinei asishte v'hi nitma. He was mekane his wife, and she became tome. So there you have, there's a juxtaposition also between kinui and truma.
But further away in time,
well, that's basically what the Gemara is going to say, actually, that the you're still with what's the first stage of the process, but yeah.
But doesn't it say later on the kinei still the hilul nitma?
Fine, but the point is, again, the pasuk doesn't have to phrase it that way. The pasuk of the kinei asishta, what's the v'hinitma or v'hilul nitma? I mean, understand. Obviously, the kinui is a conditional thing. No, the fact that the pasuk mentions the kinei asishta v'hinitma on the face of it creates a hekesh between them. Okay, hamiyat rachmana ba. Okay, but we have the miyut ba, which tells us that not to ignore that hekesh. Okay, umara isa. So then, what's the logic to include one and exclude the other? Let's say it's logical, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to say that stira is more important, and therefore you need fewer aidim for it. That it should be established; it's able to be established on the basis of fewer aidim. Shekhinah sarta ketuma, because stira is just like tuma in that both of them can answer her to her husband. The kinui by itself can't answer her, but the stira can answer her if there's no maid sota to drink, or if she's one of the cases who's not able to for whatever reason. And Tumah can also, asks her to her husband. Therefore, it makes sense that they should both be on the same level. Okay, you could argue the other way around. Kinui maybe is more important, because that's the thing that starts the whole process. The stira wouldn't be a stira without a kinui before it. Anyway, my answer is, so what? You lost stira, kinui me ikka. Fine, but if there wasn't a stira, the kinui wouldn't have any effect either. It wouldn't mean anything. Right back, okay, well, the Yilav Kinui Stira Mayani, fine, but you could argue the other way around also. Without the Kinui, they're both interdependent. A Kinui without a Stira doesn't accomplish anything. A Stira without a Kinui is nothing either. And so you're still back to why should one be stronger than the other? Nevertheless, it's logical, according to the other, to say that Stira is more important, is more serious, because it's the beginning of her becoming Tomei. Yes, you can have some cases of stira. She will be actually also to her husband. Some not. But tuma is always going to begin with stira. So therefore, it's more directly related to tuma than kinui, which is like you said further, out there. So far we have the opinions of Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua, where both of them said that the kinui needs to be in front of two aidim. The stira, that was what they were discussing, whether you need two aidim or not. Masnissim b'leke hai Tana. So our Mishnah, therefore, is not like the following Tana, the Tanya. Rabbi Yosi b'bihoda ha'im v'shom Rabbi Yezer. Ha'makane le'ishtem, metane al pi eidech or al pi atzma. U'mashkel al pi shayim. His version, Rabbi Yosi b'bihoda's version of Rabbi Yezer, is exactly the opposite to Rabbi Yezer of our Mishnah. The kinui can be on his own or in the presence of one aid. The mashkela, the sira has to require two aids. So the Chacham answered back, that's not logical. According to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda's way of looking at it, there's no end to the matter. What that means, Sigmar is going to talk about in a couple of lines. My time is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda. Okay, what is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda's reasoning? Why he says that? Again, he also uses the mute ba, but he says that the ba refers to Sira, unlike before, that we said other forms of Leah, it refers to Kinui. Okay, again, you could go through the same thing, the aim above the Leah, above the Kinui. Again, Kinui, Ishkab, Hitkas, Latuma, according to him, he points out, you have the heckish between Kinui and Tuma, the Sira Kinis, Ishkab, and Nitma. Okay, Sira, Nami, Hitkas, and Tuma, fine, but you also have the other heckish between Sira and Tuma, the Sira Nistra of Hinitma. The answer is, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say you learned something different from that. Ha'hu l'kamashir, stira k'dei truma uda asa. That means the pasuk is not telling us that there's a hekesh between stira and truma. It's telling us how long the stira has to be in order for it to be a problem. K'dei truma, v'nistira v'initma. The stira would only be if it's capable of that she became tamei during that time. We said, Heshiva Chachamim l'jiv Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda ein l'davar sois. The Chachamim said, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, there's no end to the matter. What does that mean? Mind you, the zimnin d'loy koni, because it could happen that the person was not makani to his wife, va'amakanoi. But he claims that he did. And then what happens? Later on, she's in sira with this guy. Now, the thing is, sira is not necessarily, I mean, for example, you know, you could have, you know, there are cases of sira that might be the heter. You know, we have in all the dinim of Yichud, for example. You know, Baila Ba'ir, for example, if the husband is in the city, then there's usually no problem of Yichud. There's various other circumstances in Halacha where there's not necessarily a problem. But if he's... But if he's Mekani to her, then those things do constitute Sira. So it's very easy then for the husband to all of a sudden, wait a minute, hey, you were alone with that guy. I was in the city and you didn't know there's a problem, but I claim I was Mekani to you, and how do you even disprove him? That's what we mean. There's no end to the matter. There's no way any husband can use that as an excuse to divorce his wife. The question is, the whole Mishnah saying yes, l'davar soif. So what is the implication then that the version of Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, there is l'davar soif, it is possible to control? Why? Zimnin v'lo yistatav v'amei yistatav. You could have the other way around. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that you don't need Adim for Stira. The husband, fine, he needs Adim for the Kinui, but he doesn't need Adim for the Stira. So he could falsely claim that she was in Stira, when in fact she wasn't.
Without Adim,
yeah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you're right. What we mean is, ach l'divir of Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, ein l'davar soif. Yes, what we mean is also according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's version, Ein L'davar Soif. Yes, our Mishnah is Ein L'davar Soif, and also according to him. Still, the question is, on the Lashon, after the Jibra of Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Volaymit Bayil, Mishnah Seinu. So what are you saying? Also according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and needless to say, our Mishnah makes it a difficult thing, and you should know it's a Chiddush, even according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's situation, it's Ein L'davar Soif. Adrabah, the other way around, Mishnah Seinu, Iker. At least in our Mishnah, there is a basis for it. He does have Adim for the Sira in the beginning. Awesome, like an Iker. In Rabbi Yosi Behuda scenario, there isn't even an Iker. There aren't even Adim for the original Kinui. So if anything, it's more logical to say that Adim of Dabra Saif should more apply to Rabbi Yosi Behuda's opinion than the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Okay, Ella Yitma Hachi Yitma. So you're right. We have to say it like this. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef Amr Rabbi Yechanan. L'divir Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'ach l'mishna. Say the Marshal changes the ach here to ve'ach. Ve'ach l'mishna. Say nu aim of Avosayf. You're right. What we mean is according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, which is less of a chiddush because more obvious that in his case aim of Avosayf, and even the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, either one of them aim of Avosayf. There's no end to the matter because there's no way for her to be able to prove anything against him if he claims, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that he was Makane without Adim, or according to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, that there wasn't Stira, she'll have no way to prove it, and any husband who doesn't like his wife is always going to have a chance to get her into trouble. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, you don't have that issue because both of them require two aids.
Why?
Never mind that. No, because what if it's one of the cases? What if it's, for example, nowadays where she can't drink mace soda? Or what if even, you know, we'll talk about it. That she's also same forever. Yeah, and trying, yeah. Yeah.